Week 3 NFL DFS main slate breakdown here at the First and Six podcast. Thanks for all the support thus far this season. If you haven't checked out the NFL playbook, all David Jones plays, all the game-by-game breakdowns over at Win Daily Sports, sign up with promo code STIX. That is STIX. You can find me on Twitter at STIXPICKS. That is at STIXPICKS. If you got any season-long questions, DFS questions, honestly, just reach out anytime. DM, tweet, whatever is your method of reaching out. I'm happy to help at any time if you want my help. If not, maybe my help sucks. You never know. But I'm excited to get to week 3. Very, very interesting slate. I think it's a lot of condensed ownership. I have not looked at ownership projections that much thus far. And we will get to those, I guess, a natural raw reaction on the show. So that'll be a lot of fun, having a nice spotted cow here on a Friday night. I apologize for getting the pod out so late. It has been a hell of a week at work. But let's go over the quick good and bad from week 2 here. The cash game was phenomenal. Here was the cash game core. It was Cooper Kupp, Chris Godwin, Jordan Mason, and James Conner. And I also had Alan Lazard in both cash and GPPs. Alan Lazard didn't do shit. So that sucked, but of course he goes off on Thursday Night Football, the very next game. Like, dude, I would have absolutely smashed the slate. If you just do a little bit of anything, I played Deshaun Watson in GPPs and Amari Cooper as well, and most of them. He sucked, but in cash, that cash line was well through the pay line. So again, that core of plays is always on Wood Daily Sports, and I pretty much go through it on this show as well. Malik Nabers was also someone we talked about in cash. He was a damn near free square. Went off, did not play him in tournaments, probably should have done that instead of Mr. Amari Cooper, but I am an ownership whore and saw 20% ownership on Malik Nabers. Like, all right, I'll go to Amari Cooper at like 2-5. Joke's on me, I got that wrong. In terms of the bets, I think I talked about them on the show. Derek Carr over 216 passing yards, that hit. Dak Prescott over 23.5 completions, that hit. Gardner Minshew over 200 pass yards, hit. And they won that game. That was pretty wild. Derrick Henry over 69.5 rushing yards, that hit. Also, these bets are in the playbook at windailysports.com or on the free sheet that I share on Google Drive. If you want access to that, again, just reach out to me on Twitter. The losses here were Devin Singletary over 2.5 receptions, Hayden Hurst anytime touchdown, J.K. Dobbins under 56.5 rush yards. He shoved it up my ass. He went for 100 again. Good God. And then Brock Purdy over 19.5 completions was a hit. Overall, 2.28 units of profit in week 2 after 1.25 in week 1. So I love to see the model running in the right direction. Week 3 bets so far on the sheet have been the Jets minus 6.5. Absolutely smashed that one. That was pretty easy. I do have Tank Dell over 3.5 receptions on FanDuel minus 120. That line has left the station. I think it's like minus 150 now. I would not bet it anymore, laying that much juice. You know, $1.50 to the buck is rough to do. I think Fanatics is still laying minus 130. I'm okay if you want to chase it. Otherwise, stay away. CJ Stroud over 22.5 completions on FanDuel, minus 114. I went against Justin Jefferson. Actually, that was one of the good calls on the GPP side of things. Justin Jefferson was a priority for me again in week 2. Got it done. It sucks he left the game a little bit banged up, but he went well over 100. The touchdown, obviously the 98-yard touchdown from Sam Darnold, helps a ton on double coverage, by the way, that a boy Justin Jefferson. I have him under 76.5 receiving yards on DraftKings, minus 110. Zamir White, anytime touchdown, plus 105. DraftKings, Roma Dunze, over 35.5 receiving yards on Fanatics, minus 109. I believe that line is gone, but I'm okay chasing that up to like minus 130. And then Kyle Juszczyk, I saw his receiving prop at 18.5 receiving yards. I went under on FanDuel, minus 113, but that is a trap line. I think they're begging for action on the under. He's probably going to be well-utilized, and I'm stupid for betting that, but I just refuse to believe Kyle Juszczyk's going over 18.5 receiving yards. Watch him do it on Sunday. Probably a bet I would not recommend. Let's get into the slate here, though. We got the first game, and we're going to fly through this week, I think, because there's really only like 4 or 5 games worth talking about. But let's get after the Chargers at the Pittsburgh Steelers. This opened up as a 35.5 point total. Steelers minus 2.5. And that is currently sitting at Steelers minus 2.5. And the total at 34.5 or 35, depending on where you're looking. honestly, on the GPP or cash side of things, I think we're going to stay away. It sounds like Justin Herbert does have a high ankle sprain is what he said. Shit, we forgot injuries. Let's go to injuries. But yeah, we're not talking about that game. I don't think there's really anything you want. If you need to punt tight end, go to Pat Fry. Like, whatever. George Pickens, probably 0% ownership. I'm not even going to go through the ownership in that game. Just not interested in it in a game with a 34-point total. But here are the injuries so far. CMC is obviously out. Kenneth Walker, very unlikely to play. I'd say he's out. Jordan Love, it sounds like he's likely to go. Justin Herbert, as we spoke about, is very highly questionable. Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce sound like they are out. Looks like Cam Akers free square week. We'll talk about that in a bit. Raheem Mostert out, Cooper Kupp out, Deebo Samuel out, Jordan Addison out, Keenan Allen out, hence the Rome Odunze play, and we'll talk about the coverage there. Michael Pittman is questionable, sounds like he'll go. DeForest Buckner, obviously, that sucks. He's such a good player, got hurt in that Packers game. He's going to the IR. A.J. Brown is out, David Njoku's out. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Mr. always likes to talk shit on the field, and if you guys know the Anthony Miller story, we don't need to get back into that. One of the, we're not talking about it. We already said we're not going to talk about it, Nick. We're going to move on. People don't forget. For the Eagles, DB there, banged up, very highly questionable. It sounds like George Kittle, doubtful. Greg Dortch got hurt today at practice. Hammy, it sounds like, so probably highly questionable for him. Don't mind that. Moving on to the next game. I love this game, actually. Opened up at 43.5-point total. A pick 'em. It is a pick 'em pretty much everywhere. Maybe the Colts laying one against the Bears here at home for the Colts, and its total is still at 43.5. Let's go through the ownership. I'm just going to drop the bomb right away. Caleb Williams is probably my GPP quarterback. I'm seeing 2-3% ownership. He's 5,600, going to run a little bit, but this is the first game the Bears have that Caleb Williams and this offensive line should be able to breathe. So DeForest Buckner, obviously being out, helps a ton. He's more of a run blocker, but still a great pass rush player as well. I got Indy's defense here with Gus Bradley. Very, very, very low blitz rate historically. They have brought a little bit more pressure this year than anticipated, but with DeForest Buckner out, I think that's going to change a lot. All they play is zone and a ton of cover three. So honestly, I think this is a great spot for DJ Moore. I think this is a great spot for Rome Odunze. Sounds like he is 100% good to go. I really dissected Shane Waldron's like history against cover three and teams that don't blitz a lot. And honestly, it was very surprising on the uptick in targets per routes ran for Mr. Tyler Lockett. And a lot of people think Tyler Lockett was a slot receiver. Honestly, honestly, whatever. I don't know what I'm saying half the time, but he had the highest outside routes ran rate of his career since 2016 last year with Shane Waldron. And he got peppered with targets. He was honestly had an equal target share with DK Metcalf and any other coverage that was always a big, uptick for DK Metcalf. So to see Tyler Lockett get that much love against cover three and teams that don't blitz a lot, I think this is a great spot for Rome Odunze. I don't think he's going to go for like 100 yards and 8 receptions like DJ Moore should. Absolutely crush this, and we want to take the outside receivers against Indy, not going inside against Kenny Moore. Kenny Moore's a stud, but yeah. So for Rome Odunze being 4,200, that's just too cheap for a guy that has that type of upside. I loved his player prop at 35 because I think he could hit it in one catch. But we'll see. If I had to choose, like obviously my favorite play in this game would be DJ Moore. I would love to stack him with Caleb Williams, but the way I'm kind of designing my lineup, seems like Devonta Smith is going to be a priority for me. And depending on the ownership when we get to the Saint game, I am loving Chris Olave. And I love Marvin Harrison Jr. again. So, dude, how about that? I said I don't want to play Russian roulette with Marvin Harrison Jr. on last week's pod. I probably should have fucking played Russian roulette with Marvin Harrison because he went nuts in the first quarter. I think that was pretty much his whole game was in the first quarter. I went to James Conner, so I'm not too mad. But, man, like a 5% on Marvin Harrison Jr. last week, you do damage. And he was pretty cheap. DeAndre Swift, 5,600, like 8% ownership. Whatever, I guess this is probably the best spot for him so far this season, but that isn't saying a whole lot. Jonathan Taylor on the other side, definitely interested in him at 7,300. I was going to run a peck with Pittman. It sounds like he is highly questionable too, which we talked about. DJ Moore, 6,700. I'm seeing 13% ownership. I did not think the field would be on DJ Moore. I do think the ownership will be lower. There's just too many guys in that price range at higher total games that have had multiple weeks of success already this season, I feel like the public will always go there, check the box scores, check the totals, and they'll be like, all right, DJ Moore's my guy. Roma Dunsay, I'm seeing 0% ownership. I think he'll probably be around the 1-2 range, but at that point, does it even matter? You will be different by playing Caleb Williams and Roma Dunsay. Again, this is my tournament lineups. For the record, I've played Daniel Jones week one, Sam Darnold week one. I did play Kyler Murray last week, but I also had a lot of Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson. So my GPP advice outside of a couple one-off players like Jefferson last week has been absolute dog shit. So it's kind of the way I play, though. I'm playing to find a clear path to get first place and otherwise not cash if it doesn't go well. I think this game is very up-paced. Both these teams rank inside the top 10 in average play clock remaining, pace of play. Like, they are quick. I don't think these defenses are that good, but I do think the Bears defense is probably a great play for cash games at 2,600. Josh Downs should be back, too, for the Colts, which should help that offense. But hopefully Michael Pittman plays. If he's out, I think my love for stacking Caleb Williams and Roma Dunsay for the value is the reason I'm doing that will die down a little bit. On the tight end side of things, Cole Kmet, 0% owned against cover three. Should be a bigger advantage for him to find soft spots in the zone, too. Not blitzing, not going to be held back to pass block a lot, and he's more of a route runner. The snaps for Cole Kmet went way up in week two, but Gerald Everett's still a thing, and that pisses me off. So don't love Cole Kmet, but if you needed like a absolute premium or bottom of the barrel with upside type of stack, if you want to go Caleb Williams, Cole Kmet, and just pay up for the world after that on a great slate, feel free to do so. Next game, we have the Minnesota Vikings. Damn, KOC's got the boys rolling 2-0 already. That's what I said earlier. Like, with the Saints, with Kubiak, you got to trust it. With KOC, yeah, just trust it. And Brian Flores, great defensive mind. Vikings are good. This opened at 46-point total. I believe they are a 2-point favorite to the Houston Texans. That is true. Pretty much at every book. We'll go to the ownership here. Any, like, defensive stuff I really want to break down? Not a ton. Obviously, with D'Amico Ryan's, a little bit of man coverage. They do play a lot of cover four, but they're winning a lot. Not going to blitz much. I think this is kind of like your usual suspects. I don't really see a big bump up for anybody on the Minnesota side. With Flores and the Vikings, we know they're going to play a ton of zone and a lot of blitz. This is a great boost for Tank Dell against zone coverage. So I do have a reception prop on Tank Dell, but it seems like the market agreed that that was a bad price when it opened. Again, if you do like prop betting and prop betting with like a perceived edge, all off the 80 model, not really off my heart, reach out to me. I'll get you access to the sheet. If you're not a Win Daily member, that's fine. I'm not going to press you into joining that, but it's just a Google sheet. Every week it's updated. Also, my golf plays and better golf plays once the golf season is back up and running. But it's been hot so far, so yeah, that's kind of where these bets come from. But yeah, love Tank Dell here. Probably not going to play a whole lot of this game. Again, just can't play every game, but maybe if you want to go the early slate, CJ Stroud and Tank Dell, kind of like a value stack. I'm cool with that. I don't think many people are going to play CJ Stroud. I don't think anybody's really going to go to the Darnold side. Looking at projections right now, they both are at 5%. I'll take the under on both. Aaron Jones, 5,900. Pretty good spot for him, I guess, right? Like, historically, this is a really good spot for tight end volume in Kevin O'Connell's system against a lot of cover four and all the zone without the blitz. But also RB checkdowns is what I wrote here. So, yeah, I don't mind Aaron Jones here. I just think it's a tough spot to run against them. But, sure, 5,900, if you get four or five catches, you know, 25, 30 yards, falling in the end zone somewhere and get 40 rush yards, that's a pretty good day at 5,900. So, yeah, Aaron Jones, don't hate it. But I see him at 15% ownership in GPPs. Definitely going to hate that. But early only slate or something like that, if you want to take another free square with Cam Akers, go ahead. Cam Akers, I do not see ownership yet. I think it'll be 40%. I will be the hardest pass in the fucking world on Cam Akers in tournaments, in cash games, 4,700 on DraftKings. You're just going to take it. Again, if you're a new listener or anything like that, one, thank you. Two, this is a DraftKings-focused show. If you have FanDuel questions, be happy to answer those on Sunday at the live stream on YouTube for Win Daily Sports, or just hit me up on Twitter. But for the most part, my history with modeling has been easier to project volume than it is like the boomer bust touchdown stuff that DraftKings kind of rewards a little, or FanDuel rewards a little bit more than DraftKings. But yeah, Cam Akers, will not play a GPP lineup with him unless I already hand built it in like the $3.20 max, just because that's kind of like my first read on the slate is like Monday morning. I'll just hand build 20 and fill that contest and forget about those lineups. But he won't be in like a million maker or single entry GPP for me, but in cash, looks like he's going to be a staple for everybody, so just chase it and ride it. Ride it, I should say, not chase it. Who knows? Justin Jefferson, sub 5%. Always going to be interested in him there. Again, just 8,600. Don't love this game environment as much, and I do love Devonta Smith and Chris Olave. Obviously love Marvin Harrison Jr., especially with Dortch potentially being questionable. So it's like, all right, last week I planted my flag in Justin Jefferson. The week before I did as well. This week, kind of just going to have to say bye, it looks like, but his price is way up from where it was last week. And it's not necessarily a pass funnel defense in Houston. So it is what it is if you play Justin Jefferson. I get it. Maybe early only type of guy to get way different against stacking Stroud and maybe Tank Dell running back with Justin Jefferson on the early only slate to avoid all this ownership and variance in the afternoon slate. Definitely would be my route there. Stephon Diggs, 6,600. It's a good spot, again, against zone defense. Probably a really good spot for Stephon Diggs. He's always been really good at finding the empty spot in the zone. Tank Dell, I'm seeing 15% ownership. That's pretty wild. Not paying 7,300 for Nico Collins, although I love him. Love you, Nico. I'm sure you're listening, buddy. Good luck on your lineups this week. Good luck on the field this week, but no, not playing you. Tight ends, not really interested in anything here, but Johnny Munt, again, like I said, according to the data and some of the half-assed film that I watched on just Kevin O'Connell last year, obviously that's TJ Hockenson, that's a lot different of a story, but Johnny Munt's running a ton of routes. If you, again, maybe on the early only slate, if you need an absolute dumpster dive and you're interested in this game, potentially shoot now because both these offenses are pretty good. Johnny Munt. Maybe you take his reception prop if they even offer one. I don't know. I'm assuming they would open like 1.5. Let me tell you what I have on Johnny Munt receptions, just because I don't think I've ever said his name on a podcast before and or in relation to him having a player prop. I have him for 3 catches on the button. Look at that. All right. Well, the 80 model does. I don't, but Johnny Munt, welcome to the podcast, man. Probably never say your name again, and I'm fine with that. Next game is going to be Philly in New Orleans. We got New Orleans laying 3 currently, or 2.5, depending on what book. This game opened at 49.5. It's holding strong at 49.5. So much fantasy fireworks here, like we've been talking about the Saints the first 2 weeks on the show. Saints, I mean, obviously A.J. Brown being out sucks, but I don't think the Saints DBs, inside or outside, obviously we talk about, you know, going inside against Alante Taylor often, pulsing it deep. Like, I don't think he can hang on with Devonta Smith. And even if Marshawn Lattimore does come back and play in full, like, I don't think he can keep up with Devonta Smith. He's such a good route runner. And they're probably not going to double him because you got Saquon Barkley. Even Dallas Goedert draws coverage. So, I don't know. Like, probably the usual suspects for Philly. It should be an inflated target share for Devonta Smith. And at 6,900, I think that's fair. I'm fine with playing that. Check the ownership on the quarterbacks, 7% for each. I'm sure people are going to chase Derek Carr, which also pisses me off last week. This is one of my flaws in DFS. I think I said it on the show, like my first game that I loved to stack when the slate opened up was Dallas and New Orleans. But I was so committed to playing Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and running it back with Olave and Kamara, which is great. Those lineups fucking smash for me, but I had no interest in running anything with the other side. Like, if you love a game, play both quarterbacks, get a couple different variances of it. But man, it just play Derek Carr. If I love that game, why did I not? I didn't even look at Derek Carr. I was like, yeah, no, I'm good. I know I like Olave. I'm not really a Shaheed guy, but I do like him in this spot a little bit. I loved Alvin Kamara last week and put him on the GPP side of the playbook, but dude, it's like, why don't you just play Derek Carr too? Like I said, you could game stack the shit out of this one, and I did it, put all in favor of Dallas, and Dallas fucking sucked last week, so way to go, Nick. All right, I don't even know what I was ranting about. We'll go to the other side of the defense here with New Orleans. Where did I put your defense? We already talked about New Orleans. I'm sorry, Philly's D. We're going to see Vic Fangio not blitz much, middle of the pack in the man coverage rates, but a lot of cover three on the zone side of things when they do play a lot of run and or a lot of zone. And honestly, that has been a spot where Chris Olave has been extremely successful, very good against cover three. I think this is a game where maybe Rashid Shaheed sits down a little bit. Obviously, he can catch a 6-yard touchdown anytime. It seems to happen every fucking week now. But Chris Olave, I'm thinking this is his breakout spot here, and I do think ownership will be down. Let's get to that for a raw reaction. Running back side of things, Saquon under 10%. Definitely going to be interested in Saquon Barkley anytime he's under 10%. Alvin Kamara, north of 15. But again, with this offense, you probably just keep riding this guy. If you could afford Alvin Kamara, go get it. I'm all for it. Only concern there is Taysom Hill sounds like he is going to play, but I don't think Clint Kubiak's going to mess with Alvin Kamara. He's been so, so successful here. Chris Olave's got 17% ownership projection. Fuck me. I'm sorry. I'm fired up. I thought he'd be like 5 to 10%, but again, people are just seeing the total. Playing the shit out of this game. Devonta Smith going to be north of 22%. He is going to be a cash game lock for me on DraftKings. Chris Olave, more of a GPP side of things, still with the 15% ownership. Only 10% on Shahid. I figured people would chase the recent production and the price. It's only $5,300. Like, for what he's doing, he's well worth that price. Maybe someone I will consider in cash and go to Olave and GPPs. Again, Olave's not going to be getting much different in tournaments, but Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze sure as shit are, so I think I'm safe on that regard. Tight end side of things, I don't know. Dallas Goedert, 4,600. He's got a 4.5 catch prop at most books. I will tell you what I have him for. Again, I think this is a good spot for him, definitely, but I'm probably just going to jam in Devonta Smith everywhere. Dallas Goedert, I got for 4.26 catches, 45 yards. So I think that's really close to the market if I had to guess. I'm okay with it. 4,600 for a guy that's going to get that type of volume on a weird tight end week. Like Mark Andrews is 4,800. That seems easy. I'm assuming ownership for him will be nuts. Otherwise, it's like Trey McBride and nobody. So you're either taking Trey McBride, Andrews, or you're paying down. So maybe Dallas Goedert is a forgotten man and is at like 2% in a game with a very high total that should be back and forth and has a ton of red zone equity. Dallas Goedert is going to make my GPP playbook on the website. Next game, what do we got? New York Giants at the Cleveland Browns. Opened up at Browns minus 6.5. That is holding true. Total opened up at 38. Pretty much holding true. Maybe bet up to 38.5 if you even want to consider that. I don't know. Like, Amari Cooper, again, grades so fucking well for me. I'm not playing Deshaun Watson because they were, I mean, that first drive for Deshaun was so good. Amari was no part of it, but Deshaun looked great last week in comparison to what we've seen. And then they just took their foot off the gas. And then when Jacksonville got it close, they couldn't really do anything. So I still have a ton of concerns for that offense, but I do not think the Giants will be able to move the football very much in this game. Cleveland's defense is very healthy, it looks like. Offensive line, I think Conklin's questionable, obviously, if he goes. Jerome Ford is in an excellent spot here. We did talk about Brian Robinson last week a little bit. Jerome Ford's the same price as B-Rob was last week. I see Jerome Ford at 3% ownership projection. Seeing that much Dante Foreman last week was a little bit alarming, but, I mean, Jerome Ford was just so much more effective when he touched the football. I'm sure they'll lean back into him. He had such a big workload week one, so maybe it was just like a rest thing, and that game was kind of like, despite the score, was out of reach for Jacksonville pretty much after that first drive or second drive. Malik Nabers, 6,400. I mean, this dude's just going to get peppered with targets all year long. Amari Cooper, I'm actually seeing a 10% ownership. Seeing Malik Nabers for 10, I'll take under on both of those guys. There's no way that many people play him, but Amari Cooper's in a fantastic spot. Just not really a back-and-forth type of game. The Giants have a fucking team total of 16 points, so you don't necessarily need a ceiling game for Amari Cooper at 6,100 and GPPs to pay off. If he goes for, you know, 90-2, that'll be a hell of a game, and they could stop passing the ball the whole second half, and 90-2 is very reachable for his range of outcomes in the first half of a game against the Giants. But other than that, not really interested in anything in this game besides the Browns defense, I guess. But yeah, moving on over to Florida, we got Tampa Bay hosting the Denver Broncos. Opened up at Tampa minus 6.5. Looks like the Broncos are getting some action. Bet down to 6 and 5 at some books that I'm looking at offshore. The total is 41, sitting at 41. Some books, 40.5. Irrelevant to the listener, I would assume. I do like Denver in this game. My 80 model, if you look at WinDaily Sports and go to adjusted expected team totals, that is basically projecting all of the scoring minus special teams. Usually what I like to do is kind of, you know, there's a little bit more of an algorithm to it, but just add 1.5 points to the home team, do the difference there, and you can see what I would have the spread at. And I believe that had Denver proper at getting 4 to 4.5. So I'm going to take Denver at 6.5 on the books that still have it. May even bet it up to 7 and lay like, you know, minus 125, minus 130. But I do think Denver kind of keeps this game close. In terms of fantasy, I don't know. Like, what do you do? Not really interested in Baker Mayfield here. It's not a really back and forth game. Bo Nix was interesting for me in the beginning, but I think I'd rather have Tampa's D. Baker Mayfield's going to come in at like 5% ownership. Probably not a spot I want to play Baker. I'd rather have the back and forth nature. It looks like the public is going to like Rashad White. I'm hard pass there. One, he's kind of banged up with the groin stuff or the hammy. Bucky Irving looks pretty good too. I don't know, just becoming a little bit more of a timeshare than I'd like. Javonte Williams, no interest. Jaleel McLaughlin, again, no interest. I don't think this game gets a crazy ton of pace. Mike Evans, 6,200. I think Pat Surtain is just absolutely for real. He's kind of shut down everybody's face. 5% ownership, no dice for me. 6,500. Chris Godwin, 15%. Probably more of a cash play, I would imagine. I don't see this being a ceiling Godwin game, but he has just been so damn successful to start this year. He's getting peppered with targets, doing a lot with them after the catch, too. Very un-Chris Godwin-like, but 5,400, Cortland Sutton, and what should be a pass funnel defense in Tampa Bay. I don't really respect many of these DBs, and they're going to play a lot of zone, too. So, Cortland Sutton, historically, pretty good at zone. Obviously, I'd prefer him like one-on-one man coverage against a beatable corner, but I'm okay with Cortland Sutton at 5,400 in tournaments at like 2% ownership. Other than that, Greg Dulcich is running a ton of routes, 5% ownership I'm seeing at 2,900, so maybe some people are punting tight end. I don't hate Dulcich here. No interest in Kate Otten. Again, Tampa's D, probably my favorite play in the game. Next game is Green Bay in Tennessee. Yikes. What do we do there? Skip it? We'll see what happens with Jordan Love, but Titans opened up as a 2.5-point favorite, total of 37.5. It is now a 3-point favorite at most books, or 2.5 at others, still holding strong with a 38.5-point total. Kind of not very sexy, not going to lie there, but I mean, Jordan Love, we'll see if he plays. Not going to really talk about the quarterbacks, probably not playing Will Levis. I'm cool with that. Josh Jacobs, 6,700, probably going to get 20 touches again, 5% ownership. Tony Pollard, 6K flat and under 5% ownership. Holy shit, if that is actually true, sign me all the way up. I'm going to play a ton of Tony Pollard at 6K. I thought he'd be a cash staple for most people. At that price, Tajay Spears is going to play, but he's a little bit banged up. Like, this offense is going through Tony Pollard. You could run on Green Bay. Tennessee's offensive line is just full of monster men, and they are relatively healthy. So, yeah, Tony Pollard grades fantastic for me. Kind of like his rushing prop, but didn't have that much of an edge on it. So the market likes him a lot, too. Not touching any receiver. I like Tony Pollard, and if Jordan Love doesn't play, I'm going to pair him with the Titans defense. Looks like the Titans defense will be the chalk. Maybe I will not pair him with the Titans defense then, thinking about it, but and maybe if Jordan Love plays, that gets people off the Titans defense and gets me back onto them. So I'm cool with that. Moving on to the next game, Miami-Seattle. Zach Charbonnet is still free, 6K flat. I think he'll have the ownership. Oh, yeah, 20%. Give me Tony Pollard over Zach Charbonnet all day in these matchups. I don't hate Charbonnet. I don't even think I'm really considering him in cash. I'll put him in the playbook, but he will not make my cash lineup unless his ownership does keep creeping north of 20. I see 20% of the population playing Devon Achane. I don't like any player in this game, and I am probably not playing any of them in cash. That'll be a full fade for me. So maybe I'm different by just disassociation of that game. So cool. If that phrase makes sense, please let me know. I think it sounded like it did, but next game, Las Vegas hosting the Carolina Panthers. Andy Dalton getting the nod. Bryce Young, Dunzel Washington. So it was a good run. Bryce Young, we'll see what happens. Maybe a trade or a change of scenery. I don't know. I just think that dude is scared in the pocket. He's obviously tiny. I did have a little bit of faith in him on the DFS side of things week one, just because I did love the Saints offense, and he didn't do anything. Both these quarterbacks around 1% ownership. I feel like people would play a ton of Andy Dalton in the past at 4,800, just because it's kind of a free square. I think his ownership will be higher than that. So keep an eye on ownership projections. Zamir White, 5,500. Every single running back has kind of turned to gold playing Carolina. So maybe if there's any week for Zamir White, 5,500, this would probably be it. If you have Madison, I don't know. I still think Zamir White's, I mean, the snaps kind of say it's Zamir White's job. But if you got Madison like a deep league, it's probably not a terrible play. Just play both these guys if you have to. But GPP only, I would certainly lean Zamir White. Not in love with it, but definitely like something I'd consider. But for 500 more to get to Pollard, if he's only 3% owned, give me Pollard. No ownership on any of these receivers. This could be a sneaky shootout. I still think, you know, the Raiders front five is good, but their DBs are beatable. If Andy Dalton is any bit competent like he was last year, he came to Seattle and just lit the world on fire his first game. Adam Thielen went nuts. You know, Deontay Johnson, probably a good spot for him, 4,900. You could probably stack this game. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do one stack, game stack of like, I mean, I probably have to go with Dalton because I want to get Zamir White in there. So I go Zamir White and Davante Adams. Probably avoid Brock Bowers, even though I probably shouldn't. He was a great play for us last week. Let's go Zamir White, Davante Adams, running it back with Dalton, Thielen, and Deontay Johnson. And then just afford the world for that. So maybe my angle on Caleb Williams, you could just take Andy Dalton and like a Deontay Johnson or a Thielen. I don't know. I just think the ownership on Dalton will certainly go up. It won't be 1% at 4,800. You could just do so much with these high total games if you just play a little mini stack with Andy Dalton. Tight end, Brock Bowers, great spot, 5,400. This guy's just a focal point of this offense. So feel free. I know J.C. Horn will probably travel with Davante Adams a little bit. Davante will kill him if that's the case. I'm not worried about J.C. Horn. J.C. Horn will probably get called for three holding penalties or three PIs trying to keep up with Davante Adams and his route running. So not afraid there. I mean, this game does have a relatively respective total. Oh, yeah, it's bet up to 40 at Circa. So opened at 38, up 2 points already. Yeah, maybe there's some garbage stacking you could do in this game and afford studs elsewhere. Obviously, Las Vegas D is probably still a great play in DFS. Detroit, Arizona, this game is going to have a ton of ownership. We'll filter with the quarterbacks first. Let's go to Vegas first as well. Opened up a 51-point total. I think this is finally a game we just see a ton of scoring. The NFL has been obviously hurting for scoring in back-and-forth shootouts. Detroit getting 2.5 on the road at Arizona. Getting 3 at some books, too, at Circa 3. I have this as Arizona minus, like, less than a point, so I'd probably lean. Oh, Detroit's a 3-point favorite. Okay. That makes more sense, Nick. I'm sorry, guys. It's late on Friday. I've had a couple beers already, too. You know how it goes, right? I'm just human. Moving on, Kyler Murray, I'm only seeing like 7% ownership. I'm sure that's got to be wrong. Jared Goff, 4. I'm interested in both these guys. You don't really need me to talk about this game a ton, do you? Like, there's so much fantasy fireworks to go around in this game. There's so many different ways to game stack it. Honestly, one of the best weeks I ever had in DFS was, I think, the 2018 Rams at the Saints. This is when Gurley was a thing. I stacked Jared Goff, Cooper Kupp, and I double stacked. Oh, I think I may have had Todd Gurley in that, and then I ran it back with Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. If you look at that box score, like, that was, it was fucking awesome. And I had Devontae Parker at like 3,500 in the flex. I want to say it was week 8 or 9, but if you ever want to go see a box score of a game that just went back and forth the whole day, and I just built a lineup, like, if that happens, my lineup has to be successful. I think that's something you could do here, but I also think the public is thinking the same thing. So keep an eye on ownership. On the coverage side of things, I think this is a game we should probably break down. Detroit defense with Aaron Glenn is going to have a good mix of coverages, but they will blitz a lot. I think this is great for the X, which is going to be Marvin Harrison Jr. And obviously against the blitz with how Arizona runs their schemes, I think we'll see a lot of Trey McBride in the middle of the field. And quick hitters, I don't think this is a great like yardage game for Trey McBride, but I think like cash viable, no doubt. I don't know if I want to go there in tournaments, assuming that everybody's on him. I'm seeing 12% ownership. I will take the over on that. So let's see what Marvin Harrison's at. 4%. Oh, if that's true, I am insert the never mind. Going to the running backs here, or the other side, Nick Rallis. This show is just off the fucking rails. I'm sorry, guys. Arizona's defense with Nick is going to run a lot of cover 3 and a lot of cover 4. There's going to be a boost for Amon-Ra St. Brown again. Oh, also, how about that? The breakdown of Amon-Ra against teams that blitz a ton last week was fantastic. He hit, what was his average? I wrote it down. It was like 22 fantasy points on the button. I think he had 22 fantasy points on the button, so good for the trend people out there, all you trend bettors out there. That one actually held true. Like, Amon-Ra got his against a team that blitzes a lot. My concern here is Arizona doesn't, but they just play cover 3 and cover 4. Should be a ton of open space in the middle of the field for him and a lot of checkdowns to Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm seeing 7% ownership on Jahmyr Gibbs. Going to be very interested in that, assuming when I click the wide receiver tab, I only looked at Marvin Harrison when I went there. Jameson Williams is probably going to be a free square at 5,800 and 20% owned. Not interested in James Conner. You could always play David Montgomery for the touchdown narrative. Yeah, Jameson's going to be like 15% owned in cash. He'll be a staple for me. I think we said Cam Akers is going to be a staple for us in DraftKings and Devonta Smith. So far, those are the three guys I'm definitely locking in cash. 5,800 for Jameson Williams and the targets that he's getting. I don't want to chase all the recent production. So I think in GPPs, I'm going to flip it to go to Jahmyr Gibbs. But I'm okay if you play Jameson Williams in GPPs too. At 5,800, just get different elsewhere. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 10% owned, 8,200. Another great spot. I don't like it as much as last week, but it's Amon-Ra St. Brown. Obviously, he got banged up a little bit last week too. But Marvin Harrison Jr., if he is 5% owned because everybody's going to play Trey McBride and Kyler Murray stacks, then give me Marvin Harrison Jr. in single coverage against all of the different coverages that Aaron Clinton's going to bring out, who will play a lot of man too. But there's going to be a lot of blitzing. Hot routes to Marvin Harrison Jr. Let's get it. Tight ends, we already talked about Trey McBride. No one's going to play Sam Laporta. I personally don't want to pay $6,000 for him, but if you want to win a GPP, maybe going Goff, Amon-Ra, or Goff, Jameson, Sam Laporta, or just Goff, Gibbs, Sam Laporta, or just Goff, Sam Laporta. Sam Laporta is probably going to have a breakout game here soon enough. We know how Arizona has been historically against the tight end. Let's get that DVOA against the tight end. Currently, they rank 13th against the tight end, so definitely a good spot for him. I worry that maybe Jameson Williams being so good and so electric is probably hurting Sam Laporta, but he's going to have a big game soon, and he's one of the guys in the red zone. So, yeah, I think he could be a difference maker in tournaments for sure. I probably won't get there, but again, I can't play everybody. Wish I could, but I really will only do like 150 lineups if the Millie Maker's $5, and it's not $5 this week, so I'm not doing it. My 20 hand builds and the $3 thing just to piss away money to see how builds work was probably as much as I'll get this week, and then just go straight to single entry and cash. Maybe a 3 entry max, I don't know. But early only slate is also tickling my fancy a little bit, just to be honest with you folks. A game that has another high total. 47 was the opener in a pick'em. It is 48, 47.5 pair where you're looking in Baltimore -1. I have this spread at pretty much a pick'em. I have proper at Dallas plus a tenth of a point, so yeah, pick'em. I don't think I'll lean Dallas in the spread. I don't think I'll bet the spread, like I mentioned last week. Don't really like to do a ton of that. The Jets I had favored by 8.5, so when I see 6.5, I'll definitely take that if it's -110, which it was, so that was great. Actually, it may have been -105, which was cool. Like, the public was on the Patriots and Jacoby Brissett there on Thursday. Whew! Yikes. Lamar, Dak, under 5% each. This is a game you can get way different at. I think this game can go back and forth. I had a ton of interest, again, in stacking this game. Derrick Henry going to be sub 5%. I definitely think you could run on Dallas. I know the public doesn't think you can. Jerome Ford did it in week 1. I know that game is kind of, like, weird, but, yeah, it was kind of in garbage time when Jerome Ford did his damage in week 1. But, yeah, Derrick Henry definitely going to be a GPP type of play. I fear that this is the game I go underweight on, and this is the game that really shoots out. And I don't know. I don't see Detroit and Arizona being a slow-paced game, but yeah, CeeDee Lamb, 5% owned, 8,800. People aren't going to pay up for CeeDee Lamb. You can get way different with him. Say Flowers, getting 10 targets a game, so 5% ownership. Brandon Cooks, it is what it is. Loved what I saw out of Jalen Tolbert last week. Probably won't go back there, but 0% ownership. If this game does shoot out, that's fantastic. On the defense side of things, I keep skipping that, and I am sorry. Zach Orr for the Ravens. It's going to bring a lot of man coverage and blitz, or low blitz rate, I'm sorry, but a lot of man coverage. Yeah, CeeDee should have a great spot. Maybe there's some cover two and help over the top, kind of like what we saw with Garrett Wilson on Thursday, but CeeDee's just moved around the field so much, I don't think you can really stop him. If Baltimore scores a lot, CeeDee should have a great game. So if you're comfortable telling yourself that narrative, get you a lot of CeeDee Lamb at sub 5% ownership. For the Dallas D with Mike Zimmer, going to see a lot of blitz, a lot more zone. So I do think that's a great spot for Mark Andrews getting inside the zone, and probably Isaiah Likely too. But it seems like Isaiah Likely is doing a lot of his damage against man coverage because he's getting linebackers and safeties on him. And, of course, a guy as talented as Isaiah Likely should cook those guys. But Zay Flowers always been pretty good at finding the open spot in the zone. So, yeah, you could stack the hell out of this game. Tight end side of things, I'm only seeing 8% ownership for Mark Andrews. Jake Ferguson is back. Should have mentioned that on the tight end injury report there. Yeah, this is a game, again, I fear I don't have enough exposure to it. I'll probably make a game stack with this one, too, like I would with, you know, everybody's going to game stack Philly, New Orleans, and Detroit, Arizona. Baltimore may be a way to get different in single entry is just game stack that one a little bit. And CD Lamb being damn near a priority play at this point if he's going to be that low in ownership. But last game of the week here for the main slate on DraftKings, we got Sam Fran at the Rams. This is the walking wounded battle here. Opened up at a 45-point total, 45.5. San Fran laying 7. They're laying 6.5 now, 43.5-point total. Definitely getting bet down. Probably not playing any of the quarterbacks here. Both are going to be sub 5% owned, so you certainly could. But, again, I'm probably not. Kyren Williams should get the just 30 touches. So if you want to tell yourself a narrative here, I would assume Sean McVay doesn't want to get in a shootout here. But without Debo, without Kittle, I don't know if that's possible. Jordan Mathan, 6,200, probably too cheap, 35% owned. He will be in the cash game. So what do we got? We got Cam Akers, Jordan Mason, Devonta Smith, and who is he? Jameson Williams is probably going to be in my cash game lineup so far. Leaning Kyler, I guess. But honestly, Dak Prescott at 6,600. They can't run on Baltimore. I may go Dak because I probably can't afford CD lineup in cash. But Dak is going to be so low owned, I don't know if you need to do that in cash, but I still feel like my projections say that that is the optimal way to go. So you can always get different in cash too if you want to. Wide receivers, Brandon Ayuk, 20% ownership. It's like, do you really want to play Brandon Ayuk and Jordan Mason in cash together at their prices? It's probably valuable. I hate to really invest that much into one offense, and it's like it can't be that hard for the Rams to be like, Brandon Ayuk is not going to beat us. Put two on him, kind of stack the box, maybe a good spot for Juwan Jennings. Interested to see Jordan Whittington play a lot of snaps here for the Rams and see what his role actually is. I think a sixth-round pick out of Texas, but sounds like he is going to run the routes that Cooper Kupp did. I'm gonna wait and see on that. And honestly, one of the guys I like that my model liked a ton was Colby Parkinson grades is a big value for me. I'm seeing 1% ownership on him. I know everybody loved him last week. I do love playing the narrative that he disappointed last week. And now people are off that I can go back. But I have him for damn near 4 catches. 3.9 catches, 37 yards. Yeah, at 3,600. I was kind of leaning Cole Kmet for my punt tight end. I think I'll probably lean Colby Parkinson now thinking about it. But yeah, that's pretty much where we're at. You could always play the 49ers defense against Matt Stafford. But I don't know. I think this is a game where they cannot throw the ball 35 times, but you never know. Stafford always loves to chuck it. But thank you all so much for tuning in. Good luck this week. Again, the live stream at Win Daily Sports is free every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 a.m. Central. We'll break down the slate, answer hopefully all of your questions. If we miss it, again, just reach out on Twitter at StixPicks. If you're interested in signing up for Win Daily, getting those bets, getting the team totals tool, getting all the projections for the players, like not just their fantasy points, but actually seeing how many receptions, how many yards, how many passing yards, how many completions, literally everything that the 80 model spits out, we are now customer facing on the website. So definitely check it out. If you want like a free trial or something too, just to see if it's worth a shit, definitely just reach out to me and we'll get it set up, or I could just give you my login maybe, but don't let the boss of Win Daily Sports know that I would do that. But I'm here for the people. I'm here for week 3. I'm here for everybody's success. Let's crush it this week. Good luck to all, and thanks again for the support. Go get them, and I'll see you next week.